Well, this morning it's our privilege to recognize our first responders and to give them the thanks that they deserve and the honoring that they deserve. So I'm going to ask this morning that any first responders that are here, firefighters, EMTs, if you would please just stand to your feet this morning so we can say thank you to you. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, much appreciation. We have a coffee card being delivered to you there just as a way for us to say thank you to you. Have a cup of coffee on us, and thank you, and God bless you guys so, so much. Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 is where we're going to be right after service this morning. We're going to go out and we're going to have a barbecue. I want to thank all of our volunteers today. A lot of people came early today, very early, to help set up and make sure that things were going to be nice for us and we'd have some good food. So thank you to all of you, and I hope that you can stay around. I know the weather isn't optimal. I was kind of, on the one hand, I was hoping it wouldn't rain today, but on the other hand, we need rain. So I was not really all that bummed out that we were getting some rain. So it might be a little cooler, but we'll just bundle up and go out and have some good fellowship and some good food anyway. Proverbs chapter 11, beginning at verse 30, or actually we're only going to read verse 30. We're not just beginning and ending at verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. Church, this proverb is a good reminder to us that our lives are not just about ourselves. Amen? Yeah. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, living in this valley, we are surrounded by fruit trees. We still have some orchards that haven't been replaced by hemp fields. So, yes, we have fruit trees here. So we're kind of familiar with this, and we know that just because a fruit tree is a fruit tree, doesn't mean it always bears fruit. You have fruit trees that bear little or no fruit. Sometimes you have fruit trees that bear fruit, but it's not good fruit, right? But what the Bible tells us here is that our life is supposed to be like a tree that is bearing good fruit. And that our lives are designed by the Lord to be a blessing to other people. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We don't live just for ourselves, people. Amen? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And then the second part, now I got to say I'm not a real fan of the NIV here where it says, and the one who is wise saves lives. Kind of sounds like we're all supposed to learn, CPR and be able to resuscitate people when they're in need, which is a good thing. We've already celebrated that. That's just not what this verse is about. And so a couple of other translations that I like here, the ESV, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. Or the New King James says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of our lives is life-giving to other people. The one who wins souls is wise. So the example that we set is either going to hinder people or help people in terms of their eternity, right? So the big idea this morning is this: wisdom means giving serious consideration to the spiritual influence that we are having on others. What kind of impact is my life having on the people around me? Church, our relationship with Jesus should be so clear to the world around us that we're sending the right kind of message. Amen? That out of our relationship with Christ, there's going to be fruit from that. Jesus put it this way, and we're going to switch metaphors here from fruit to light. But Jesus said in Matthew 5, you, speaking of his disciples, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, church, let's take the words of Jesus seriously this morning. Let's give some serious thought to what the Lord is saying to us. And I want to give you four eternal truths that come out of this passage of Scripture. And the first one is this: the gospel is the most important thing in the world. I'll say that again for those who didn't hear me. The gospel is the most important thing in the world. Yeah. The message that this world without Jesus was hopelessly lost. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and lived a perfect life as an example for us, and then laid down his life, dying on the cross to pay for our sins when we couldn't pay for our own sins. And he has been risen from the dead, and he gives life to everyone who comes to him in faith. It's the most important thing in all the world, the gospel message. Now listen, church, the reason I wanted to mention this morning and spend some time on this is because all over our world, Christians are being distracted right now. Churches are being distracted. And we need to remind ourselves today, church, that it's all about Jesus. It's all about the gospel. Amen? The gospel is not a thing. The gospel is the thing. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. I thank God for the people in my life. And thank you, sister, for that. Amen. That was good. I thank God for the people in my life who believed in the importance of sharing the gospel. Because I wasn't raised in church. I knew nothing about the gospel. I knew nothing about Jesus until my next door neighbors, the Anderson family, people who knew Jesus and were filled with the Holy Spirit, until the Anderson family took the gospel seriously and invited their next door neighbor, 11-year-old Tim Olson, to church so I could hear the gospel and find Jesus. I'm thankful for families like that who invested in my life. I'm thankful for Mr. and Mrs. King. Mr. and Mrs. King drove a Sunday school bus because after I found Jesus, I still had no way to get to church. My parents didn't go to church. My family didn't go to church. My only way to church was the fact that my church believed strongly in reaching people, and they had a bus ministry that went around and they picked up like kids like me who didn't have a way to get to church otherwise. So every Saturday, Mrs. King came knocking on the door of my house just to remind me every week that the Sunday school bus was going to be here tomorrow. Every week, Mrs. King knocked on the door. Every week, Mr. King drove up in the Sunday school bus, and I think Mr. King, the only reason he drove a bus is because Mrs. King wanted him to. But whatever his motives were, every Sunday, Mr. King pulled up in the bus, and Mrs. King would get out of the bus and come knock on the door. Tim, are you ready for church? Sometimes I wasn't ready. I wasn't used to going to church. And I have to get my teeth brushed and get my clothes on, and they'd wait for me patiently so I could go to church. I thank God for Mr. and Mrs. King. I thank God for the Sunday school teachers in my life, for the youth pastors in my life. I thank God for everybody who invested in my life. And listen, if you're here this morning, if you're within the sound of my voice and you know Jesus, the only reason you know Jesus is because there's somebody who loved Jesus enough. There's somebody that loved people enough. There's somebody that placed a high enough priority on sharing the gospel that invested in your life. Some of you, the only reason you're here this morning is because your spiritual grandmother prayed for you. And that's why you're here today. Some of you are here today because of the faithfulness of your parents. Some of you are here today because of a youth pastor or a kids pastor or a pastor that invested in your life. Some of you are here today because of a coach or a neighbor. Some of you are here today because of a friend that loved Jesus and told you about Jesus. Regardless of who it was, if you're here today and you know Jesus, it's because someone believed in the gospel. And church, now it's our job to return the favor. Amen? Yeah. Now it's our job. It's our turn to be used by God to make a difference in someone else's life. The gospel is the thing. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." When he said this, he was inferring that without the light of Christ, this world is in darkness. We've got to be convinced by this, church, that God's number one purpose for mankind is that they would be saved for all eternity. Amen? Yeah. That people would know him and be a part of his family. Jesus said this to his disciples, marching orders, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Later on in Acts 1, Jesus said this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and Medford in the Rogue Valley and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. The gospel is the most important thing in all the world. And then number two is this, because the gospel is the most important thing, sharing the gospel must be intentional. Must be intentional. Listen to Jesus' words again. Listen to how intentional Jesus is saying we need to be. A town built on a hill, that's intentional. Cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp. That's intentional. Or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. That's intentional. And then it gives light to everyone in the house. This is intentional. The gospel has to be intentional. It has to be a priority in our lives, not an afterthought. Sharing the gospel can't be something that we do because the pastor tells us we need to do it or we feel guilty. It needs to come out of an overflow of what God is doing in our heart, and we have to be intentional. Listen, I know this about myself. If I'm not intentional about sharing Jesus with people, then I won't do it, right? Because I'll just get busy with all kinds of other stuff, even pastor stuff. And if I'm not intentional, saying to the Lord, God, use me today. Use me to make a difference. Lay someone on my heart today. Help me to be sensitive to what your Holy Spirit is telling me to do throughout my day today. We got to be intentional. Now listen, if the gospel's so important and we need to be so intentional, why is it that so many Christians keep silent? Why do so few of us actually share the gospel? Well, there are probably many reasons, but I think it boils down to two things. First of all, we keep silent out of apathy, out of apathy. Often, if we're honest, the reason we don't share enough is because we don't care enough. We're not being intentional because we're not being thoughtful about people's eternity. It's apathy. And then once we overcome apathy, there's a second thing we're going to have to overcome. A second reason why Christians often keep silent is because of intimidation. Intimidation. We feel unqualified. What if they ask a question I don't have an answer to? We feel unqualified, or we have a fear of rejection, or we have a fear of possibly even reprisal in some way. Listen, I want to remind you, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? Let your love for Jesus and your love for lost souls overcome any fear and intimidation in your life. Perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Overcome intimidation. I want to just give you three quick things. If you're struggling with intimidation about sharing the gospel, I want to give you just three quick things this morning. First of all, how do we overcome intimidation? Well, it starts with prayer. If you're fearful, if you're intimidated, if you have apathy, talk to God about it. Get on your knees before Him and say, God, here I am. And you know the struggle that I'm having sharing Jesus with people. Help me, Lord. Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul asked for prayer. He said, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Now listen, if the Apostle Paul needed to pray for help to share the gospel, I know Tim Olson needs to pray for help to share the gospel. That's for sure. Pray. Second way that we overcome intimidation is by planning. Planning. What I mean by this is learn the scriptures. Think about how you're going to share the gospel with people. Think about how you would share your testimony. Do you know, like in 5 minutes, could you share your story, your testimony of what Jesus has done in your life? And make it 5 minutes, please. People don't need a one-hour sermon. But be ready to be able to concisely share the story of Jesus in your life. So prayer, planning, and a third way to overcome intimidation is by practice. The more you talk about Jesus, the less intimidating it's going to be. So prayer, planning, and practice. So sharing the gospel is something we need to be intentional about. Then a third thing we take out of the scripture is this, that the gospel is for everyone. Everyone, say everyone. Everyone. The gospel is for everyone. Back to the words of Jesus in Matthew 5. They put it on a stand. This is the lamp that he's talking about. They put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The gospel is for everyone. So if you have a mentality that says, well, the gospel's really like for good people, or the gospel is for religious people. Listen, that's exactly what the Pharisees in Jesus' time thought. And Jesus came into this world and he said, no, it's actually not the healthy people that need a doctor. It's the sick people. Right? They're the ones that really need the gospel. And so, church, one of the things that we need to think about is we need to think about broadening our circle of influence and not just being in our holy huddle. Come on, you know what I'm saying? And broadening the circle so there's actually people that don't know Jesus that are in our circle, right? And by the way, church, the gospel is for everyone, and that means that every individual who walks through the doors of this church need to feel loved. Yeah. Every person who walks into this place needs to feel loved. And they need to feel loved whatever their beliefs are. And no matter how they're dressed. And no matter who they voted for president. Come on now, church. The gospel is for everyone. Amen? Yeah. Stop treating the gift of salvation as it belonged to you, as something you earned. It was given to you. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 10 and verse 8. Freely you have received. Freely give. Listen, you're not saved because of your goodness or how smart you are. You're not saved because of anything you did, how religious you are. In fact, you're saved in spite of yourself, I hate to tell you. In spite of yourself. Jesus came into our lives, amen? And it's a free gift, so stop hoarding it. Right? We can't be like this. We got to be like this. You see the difference? There's a difference between being like this and being like this. Being open and generous with the gospel. Because God has been generous to us. The gospel is for everyone. And then number four, sharing the gospel is more about who we are than what we say. Right? This light needs to be something not that we just talk about. Jesus actually said, you're the light of the world. Now that we know Jesus is really the light of the world, right? Jesus is really the light of the world, but our job is to reflect the light of Jesus in our lives. So our job is not to just talk about the light. Our job is actually to shine the light, to be a reflection of Jesus in our world. Because the gospel is more caught than taught. People need to see it. And especially in our nation, and especially today, I'm going to say people need to see it. They need to see it in us. Peter wrote 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you. So there's the talking part. That part's important too. Be prepared to give an answer to anyone, everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But now here's the how part. But do this with gentleness and respect. Right? So it's not just talking about the light, it's shining the light. It's being the light. And then Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Wow. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, church, sincere love has to be our motive. Sincere love has to be our motive. Really loving Jesus. Really loving people. Really loving the lost and remembering. Every person you come in contact with tomorrow, every person you meet tomorrow is going to spend eternity in one of two places. Yeah. Every one of your coworkers, everyone that you go to school with, the guy that pumps your gas at the gas station, the person who pours your coffee tomorrow, every person you meet will spend eternity in one of two places. So church, remember, love's got to be our motive. Amen? Love's got to be a motive. So I want to just close this morning. And Kayla's going to come back up in just a minute and give a couple of instructions. But I want to give you three next steps this morning to get you started, okay? And the first thing is this. I want to encourage you to start a prayer list. Even if you don't know anything about how to share Jesus with people, you're not sure how you'd go about that, just start praying for people, all right? You might have neighbors on your prayer list. You might have family members. How many of you have family members that don't know Jesus, right? Are not walking with Jesus right now? Family members, right? Neighbors, coworkers. Start a list. Start a list and start praying. When we dedicated this building to the Lord. I'm not going to tell the whole story this morning, but one of the things that we did before the concrete was down is we met here and we prayed over our church because we wanted our church to be a light-giving, life-giving tool of God in our community. So we wrote two things on the floor all over this upper level. We wrote a scripture that God was laying upon our heart that we believe should be a foundation for our future. And then we wrote the names of people that we were praying for to be saved. So every Sunday, you probably didn't know this, but every Sunday that you come to church, underneath this carpet, there's the names of people that people have been praying for. So I want to encourage you to do that. Start a prayer list. Number two, outline the gospel. What I mean by that is just even, you know, take a sheet of paper and say, okay, if someone were to come to me and just ask the question outright, how do I become a Christian? Do you know right now what you'd say? Or would you say, well, just a second, I want to get you on the phone with my pastor. Listen, I thank God for the people that get saved in our church services. That's wonderful. I love it. But how many of you know people can get saved at a coffee shop? Yeah? They can. I led one person to the Lord in a cop car. They were the cop, by the way. And no, I was not in the back. I was up front with them. Yeah, you don't have to be at church. People can get saved in a coffee shop and in your living room. They can get saved at school. You don't have to bring people to church. So just how would you go about sharing Jesus with somebody? Think through that. And then the third thing I'd encourage you to do is start trying doors. Start trying doors. Here's what I mean by that. You know, some people just aren't ready yet. But our assumption is that nobody's ready. And so we don't even try to open the door. Because we think, nah, if they wanted to be saved, they'd be saved by now. You know, most people hear the gospel many, many times before they get saved. And then at that moment of need in their life, their hearts open up like never before. Amen? That's how it was with my parents. My parents had heard the gospel I don't know how many times from me. Years. But then when the time was right, their hearts were finally opened up and they gave their lives to Jesus. Right? And so sometimes you're going to try the door and you're going to, you know, turn the handle and you're going to just push just a little bit and you're going to see that person's not ready yet. Right? And that's okay. Right? Don't keep on prying on that door. Right? Just go back to praying for them. But sometimes you're going to find, if you try that door, sometimes you're going to find it's going to open just a little and you're going to see, oh, they're a little more open. They're a little more open. And then the day's going to come, that door opens all the way up and they find Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So just start, you're not going to know if you don't try. So just try some doors and you'll be amazed. If you try some doors, you'll be amazed that some of those doors are going to open up. People that you thought would never find Jesus are going to be saved. And I believe that's so true in these end times. I believe before Jesus comes back, there are going to be people brought into the kingdom of God that everybody around says they, I can't believe they became a Christian. Amen? Why? Because God is a God of the impossible. That's why. So try doors. Start a prayer list. Outline the gospel. This is easy. And start trying doors. Right? That's easy. Everyone in this room can do those three things. Right? You don't have to go to seminary to do these three things. Everyone here can do those three things. So I want to challenge you to take that next step, whatever it is for you, take that next step and pray that God would use you. So here's what we're going to do right now before we close. We're going to pray for people. And I'm going to invite you right now, if you've got a pen or a pencil and a notepad, you could write down three names right now or a few names right now if you want to. If not, just kind of have a whiteboard in your mind right now. Okay, you got a whiteboard in your mind. And I want you to just make a list right now of some people that you're praying for. Maybe just three to five people right now. And we're going to pray for those people right now. All right? Think of those names. Let God lay them on your heart right now. All right? How many of you have three? Okay? How many of you have five? All right? Here we go. Let's lift them up to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, the first thing I'm going to do, though, is before we pray for these people, I want to pray for you. And I want to ask if there's anybody here this morning that, as I've been talking about the importance of the gospel, you just recognize in your own heart that if Jesus came back right now or if something were to happen to you and you were to leave this world and enter into eternity, you're not sure you yourself where you would spend eternity. I want you to know that you can know where you're going to spend eternity. The Bible makes it very clear that you don't have to wait. It's not a roll of the dice. It's not just like, I'm going to take my chances. You can know for certain that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. And there's only one way to know that, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus didn't say he's a way. He didn't say there are many ways. Jesus said, I am the way. And so this morning, if you don't know Christ, or you've been walking away from the Lord and you need to come back to Jesus, I want to pray for you first this morning. So if that's you, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, if today you want to recommit your life to Jesus, or you want to find Jesus for the first time in your life, ask him into your heart, then I want to pray with you. And when I get to three, I invite you to just raise your hand up. And you're just saying, Tim, that's me. God's speaking to me today. Today I'm going to open my heart to Jesus. When I get to three, you raise your hand. One, two, three. Yeah, God bless you. Right back here. Yeah, right back here. Right over here. Awesome. Any others today? Yeah, young man right over here. God bless you, buddy. Yeah. All right, you can slip those hands down. Let me pray with you. Church, would you pray with these four people that have raised their hand? Maybe there was more. I saw four for sure. But would you pray along with me this morning? Guys, if you raise your hand, open your heart to Jesus right now. He's going to come into your life right now. Pray along with me. Father in heaven, I need you in my life. I've been living life on my own terms. And I confess that it's not working. God, please forgive me. Forgive my sins. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross to pay for my sins. And I believe you've risen from the dead. And you are Lord. So, Lord, I invite you today to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, Father, right now, I just pray for those that have 3 to 5 people on their heart today that they're praying for. In the name of Jesus, we ask, God, for their salvation. We pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will soften their hearts and open up their minds. Some of them, they've been deceived by the enemy just incredible ways. They've been deceived by a false religion. They've been deceived by the lies of the enemy. They've been made to believe maybe that you're not real or that you're a God who's hateful and vengeful. They've believed a lie. And God, we pray today that the light of Jesus Christ is going to break through every single lie. Jesus, that you're going to reveal yourself to their heart, Lord. God, I pray for a conviction that they would realize that the path they've been on right now is a path not of life, it's a path. And God, they would see that the road they are on, it's just not working. It's not working. It's not buying any kind of happiness and peace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will send Spirit-filled, Jesus-loving, people-loving people into their path, Lord. God, that they would encounter someone who's not just a Christian by name, but they're a Christian for real. And God, that they would have an impact on their life, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, when they turn on the radio in their car, it's going to accidentally be on a Christian station. God, I pray that scriptures maybe that they have read in their past, Lord, are going to come back to their heart, Lord. God, that those things that the devil's tried to make them to forget, God, they can't forget because your Spirit is reminding them of your word and your promises, God. We thank you, God, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord. God is good. God is good. All right. Make a prayer list. Make a prayer list. Start praying for people. Start asking God to use you, and he will. He will. Kayla. Kayla's going to come and tell us how to get some food. Come on.